Today, I want to share some things with you that are very, very relevant in our society today, some things that are going on, and some great testimonies of people who are convicted to do it God's way in our society. So I titled this today, A Time to Choose, and that's almost a given for every day, isn't it? A time to choose. We have a choice every day to be looking to the Lord and to make a choice to obey Him or to do our own thing. So I titled this today, A Time to Choose, and I know you're very familiar with Joshua's proclamation of that, and we're going to look at that in just a moment before we get into some other things. But
This is on battery power. I didn't realize it, and it's getting low. So
does that mean it's out?
That was it. Probably everybody looked at it though, because everything's moving around.
I've got it right here though. If you can put the overhead up, I'll put it on the overhead.
Okay.
Just set the overhead up, and I'll put it up there. And
is the power source not plugged into the?
No, it's not. It was just a temporary thing, but I don't know. Is this the power plug?
It's not the right one.
But it's not the right plug.
It's in the back.
In his, not hers.
This is the church computer.
That's all right. You don't have to do it. Just get the overhead, and that'll be fine. Lord, our technical age sometimes is has glitches. But the Lord doesn't have any glitches, does he?
No, this is no glitch. This is the way it's supposed to go.
Yeah, amen. Praise the Lord. Let's look at some scriptures here. Then we're going to get into some great testimonies about some great convictions and things going on here today. A time to choose. Turn with me, if you would, to Joshua chapter 23. And we'll look at some scriptures there and conclude with a scripture in chapter 24. Joshua 23. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. Joshua 23, and let's all go down to verse 6, where he says, and Joshua's about to pass away here. He's elderly now, and he's bringing Israel before him, and he wants them to understand something that we need to understand today, as well as those folks at that time. He says in verse 6, be very firm. How firm is firm? we talk about how few is few, how firm is firm. Be very firm. And I want to say this, we've said this before a lot to remind us, knowing what you stand for limits what you fall for. So there's a lot of folks today that don't really know what they stand for, so they're very subject to fall for almost any wind of thing that comes along. I feel in my heart I'm not subject to listen to the worldviews and philosophies that are out there that are contrary to the Word of God, because I have the Word of God hidden in my heart. It's there to stay. I'm not going to be thrown. I may not understand everything, and there's a lot of things that I don't understand, but there's one thing I do understand, that God is and there is no other. And He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. I know that Jesus Christ gave His life for me. He was born to die for me, if no one else. He did it for me. He was buried. He was crucified. He was buried. He resurrected. He ever lives to make intercession for me. He's coming again for His church. He's coming again for me. I know all those things. I'm never going to be talked out of those things. Along the way, God will clarify things to me and show me things along the way. I look at it like this, and without putting it on the screen or anything, but let's just say about this clarification, about understanding God more, like we were sharing with Kathy recently. She said, we were sharing with her about God clarifies things and makes things clearer to as we go. We understand things better. If I were to put a whole 500 sheet ream of paper up here in this overhead, you couldn't see anything but darkness for sure, because the illumination couldn't come through. But if I were to remove the top sheet and we would have 499 sheets left, it'd still be dark, wouldn't it? But if I remove the next, we would at least have knowledge and hope to know that something's happening here. Layers are being removed, and I'm getting more understanding, but layers are being removed. Just like I stood on the piece of paper one time to indicate there's growth happening, but you don't see the growth. And if I were to stand on 500 sheets of paper as a ream of paper, then you'd see me, gee, I'm really growing. Same thing with illumination. So we're getting down five, something we haven't understood all our lives. It hadn't had it right. Four, I'm getting there. Lord, I know you're knocking. I'm getting somewhere with this. I'm pressing in. I really want to understand. Three, and Lord, I want to get a hold of you. I want to touch the hem of your garment. I want understanding here. I want to really know what you're saying. God, I want to see. What is your request? Lord, I want to see. I want to understand. Two. And we get down to one sheet that will still block this. One. And then all of a sudden we've got what? The light comes through. The illumination comes through. And all those 500 sheet, all those layers of history and crud and everything in our life, misunderstanding and all those things, they're gone now. Paul says, I forget that which is behind and I press on for the high calling of Jesus Christ. And that's what he did. And all the murder and all the responsibility for all the deaths and all the robbery of the families of the fathers that he was responsible for killing, perhaps mothers of the children. They have no mother, they have no father because Paul was responsible for killing them. All, it's all gone now. Layer after layer. Have you experienced anything like this? You do you know what I'm talking about? I mean, God forgives us, but he also allows us to understand things as we go. First grade, 12th grade, you know, doctorate, master's, whatever. We just keep learning, don't we? And that's where I am in my walk. I'm learning to trust God. So with understanding this, I had that all hidden in my heart, how merciful God is. How merciful God is. You are merciful to me. Merciful to me, we were singing it. And he is. He's a merciful God. His mercies are new every day. So he says here in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 6, be very firm. Stand in what you understand. Be convicted in this. To keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, so that you will not turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left. Be very firm to understand what God is saying. God's covenant, God's relationship with us. We had the old covenant, now we have the new covenant, a covenant and relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, it's all things become new. We are washed, we're cleansed in the blood of Jesus. All the old covenant was pointing to the new covenant anyhow. And so here we have an admonition to be firm in what we know so we won't turn from it. Do you think you're beyond turning? I mean, be careful. Pride goes before a fall. So we got to be very careful. We got to stay humble. And we won't turn to the right or to the left. And sometimes we still get our little flesh in there and we do our little thing. And hopefully we're sorry for it and we turn from that and we ask God to forgive us and we get on down the road. But be very firm so that you won't be turning or straying to the right or to the left. In order that you may not associate with these nations, these which remain among you, or mention the name of their gods, or make anyone swear by them, or serve them, or bow down to them. There's a lot of gods in the world today, a lot of gods out there for people to bow down to and to serve. A lot of people have a lot of gods in their own heart that they're serving because it's me, myself, and I. You know, they serve themselves. They have their priorities. And not good when the priorities are not the Lord's. In verse 8, but you are to cling to the Lord your God as you have done to this day. Some people today in very public eye are clinging to the Lord. There's another aspect, another culture out there that doesn't like people that are clinging to the Lord because they feel they are judging them. And that doesn't set well with them. The Lord has driven out great and strong nations from before you. And as for you, no man has stood before you to this day. What about God driving things out of our lives? Has God been driving things out of your life? Driving them out? Either casting them out or driving them out? And you know, you see the difference. God is cleaning what? Up his church. He's helping us to do that. One of your men puts to flight 1,000, verse 10, for the Lord your God is is he who fights for you just as he promised you. So take diligent heed to yourselves to love the Lord your God. In verse 12, for if you ever go back and cling to the rest of these things, these which remain among you and intermarry with them so that you associate with them and they with you, know with certainty in verse 13 that the Lord your God will not continue to drive these nations out from before you, but they shall be a snare and a trap to you and a whip on your sides and thorns in your eyes until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. We have to be careful not to go back to what we came out of. Amen. It's a very sad state to go back to what God delivered us from. And so God is gracious to give us time to do it His way. But I'm wondering right now if America is not playing with going back to what God delivered us from. We seem to be playing with going back to things that are abomination to the Lord. I'll explain that in just a moment. Very real what's going on here. America has been blessed to be established by God, and I believe God established this nation. It's just amazing. The founding fathers, the things they said are being marginalized. We don't need to talk about them things so much anymore, about all this godness that they had in their lives and all the things that they wrote about God and being led by God and trusting God. And all our generals, our leaders, our of our country, our early fathers, just the things that were written just seemed to be supernaturally directed by God. But they're being marginalized now in our history classes in our schools, and they're not really being brought to the forefront anymore. Much less than what we used to. In verse 14, now behold, today I'm going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one word of the good words which the Lord your God spoke concerning you has failed. All have been fulfilled for you. Not one of them has failed. Here he's getting ready to die. He's proclaiming to Jerusalem again, bring the leaders before him. Not one word of the good word of God has ever failed his people, and it's true and still today. Well, go on over to chapter 24, and these last two verses here. Joshua says to the people, and he puts out a choice. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river, that's the river Euphrates, and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. In verse 15, this is so powerful. And if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, that may or may not have been popular back then. A lot of people right then in response to him said, yeah, we will serve the Lord, we will serve the Lord. But later on we find out that they didn't. Multitudes did not, but they said that they would. But when the testing came, they found out, you know, the true God that was really in their heart, who they were going to serve. So here we go. Joshua says, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve. And in today's world, recently, as of last week, we have a proclamation of the president of a company that everyone knows about, who has made a stand for the Lord, and that he believes the biblical definition of the family is true and accurate, and that he's going to follow that. And who am I talking about? Has anyone heard about this lately? Dan Cathy. How did you hear about it?
On the internet.
On the internet. Facebook.
Oh,
Boy, I'm telling you, this fires me up. Because here is Joshua so long ago saying, choose you this day who you will serve. And here is a man who has made that choice to choose who he will serve, even at the expense perhaps of not selling a few sandwiches or a few French fries or lemonades or drinks or whatever. They're not open on Sunday anyhow, because his belief is, we're going to shut this down on Sunday, we're going to have a restful day, we're not going to make those millions of dollars we could be making in a year on Sunday. That's my conviction. But anyhow, let me read to you. How many have heard about this? Two or three of you? Very powerful. What did you feel when you heard about this? And I'm going to read you the rest of the story. It's so powerful.
He's making a righteous stand.
Yes.
I mean, think about everything stacked in the natural.
Yes.
Him for, you know, you would think, people would think, oh my gosh, you know. But he made a righteous stand. So
we have what we have going on here is a line being drawn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is so. It I felt fire.
Yeah, me too.
I felt, if I could say it, mm-hmm. no one be righteous indignation. I felt this so deep within my heart. And what I also felt was, I'm living to see it. I'm living to see something I never thought possible. I'm living to see it. And I've been around a little bit longer than you, Michelle, but you also are living because you know what is right. You know what you stand for, which will limit what you... You know that. If right now we're going to set you out in Bulgaria somewhere, we're going to set you out in the Ukraine all by yourself because you're going to be isolated as a nut, as a follower of this biblical beliefs and convictions, we're going to separate... I would say with all my heart and conviction that Michelle Farkas would not deny her Lord, no matter what you do to her. Because of the choice that she has made at her age, 16. I believe that with all my heart.
The confusing thing is that this man has stated his company is based on biblical principles, and mm-hmm. and he closes on Sunday so that his workers can go wherever mm-hmm. they want. He doesn't require them to do anything. And also, he doesn't refuse people who are homosexual to work in his establishments. Mm-hmm. He has mm-hmm. people who work there. Mm-hmm. He has never refused to serve mm-hmm. anyone who comes in as a homosexual couple or something like that. Mm-hmm. So I don't understand where the fury is, but the media is not reporting that part. Mm-hmm. They're not saying that he's not refusing anyone. He has just made a statement, this is how I live my life, and this mm-hmm. is what I proclaim that God has said.
And
he's being slammed for it. On August 1st is Chick-fil-A Day. I'm going to Chick-fil-A.
Wednesday.
Even though a vegetarian, I shall go to Chick-fil-A some soup or something mm-hmm. and a salad and stand by that. I'm going to make a statement with my actions. Mm-hmm. And no one in this country mm-hmm. so far can stop me from doing that. And what they're trying to do is boycott him. And I hope that every Christian rises up and goes to Chick-fil-A that day.
This truly is preaching something relevant and something we need to hear today. It has to do with where we are. We're living to see. Let me give you a testimony. One thing leads to another. One thing leads to another. If you got something dinging and danging on your car, binging and dinging, and all this kind of stuff, whether it be a catalytic converter or whatever, it is not going to fix itself. You're driving along and boom, 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 boom. And you look out and you got this big old knot on your tire. You know, most likely it's not going to fix itself. So if you don't fix that, it's going to do something that's going to eventually stop your car, eventually, one way or the other. You're going to have shredded rubber tire all over the place, hitting your wheel well. One thing's going to lead to the next. And they did a thorough, it took, I don't know how long it took, 2 years or whatever. There was an Airbus that went down over the ocean 2-3 years ago, whenever it was. But they had a thing on that in TV. I don't know if anybody saw that or not. But the Airbus, there's nothing wrong with the Airbus, the plane. It was, everything was okay. You know what brought that plane down? There, on the outside of the plane, up toward the front, there are speed sensors. They're speeds, and little old tiny aerodynamic little bullet things. They're speed sensors on the outside of that plane. And the speed of that plane is regulated by these speed sensors. And what happened was, through some kind of phenomenon of weather conditions, they got iced over. So the computer said, well, because the computers are going by the speed, it's telling them, you're not going to speed, so we're going to do this. The computer says, we got to do this now because lights come on and because the speed is messing up. This tells us we got to do this. And I mean, it's all cool how it's supposed to work. And because it went to this control, that also messed up something else, which messed up something else, which messed up something else, and the plane came down. One thing leads to another. So Satan knows. I believe this is a powerful thing that has just come up in our society recently with this corporate thing. I mean, it's not recent, but this is a recent happening where this is going down. This is happening. And one thing will lead to the next. Because people are going to get bolder in opposition, and people are going to get bolder in support. You know, wild horses can't keep Linda from going to Chick-fil-A on Wednesday. And praise God, I think I'll be there too. If I don't get anything, give me some water. You know, praise God, Dan, Kathy. What's going on? You're making a stand. I love it. He's got a spine. And so what? This is so powerful. It says all of a sudden, biting into a fried chicken sandwich has become a political statement. Separation of church and state. But you can't separate the church from the statesman, a statesman from the church. You can't separate him. You can't do this. Chick-fil-A, a fast food chain known for putting faith ahead of profit. Wow. Do you hear that? Faith ahead of profit by closing on Sundays is standing firm in its opposition to gay marriage after touching off a furor this month.
Yes.
It is something, you all. This is something. Gay rights groups have called for a boycott. The Jim Henson Company pulls its Muppet toys from children's meals. And politicians in Boston and Chicago told the chain it is not welcome here. Can you imagine a man standing for religiously oriented truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ, biblical foundational truth, worldview based upon the Bible of God? Can you imagine anything in here that would be detrimental for anyone wanting to come to his restaurants and eat chicken sandwiches or french fry, whatever you want to eat? I mean, can you imagine? But because of his stand, though, across the Bible Belt, where most of the, I didn't know, 1,600 restaurants are situated, Christian conservatives have thrown their support behind the Atlanta-based company, promising to buy chicken sandwiches and waffle fries next week on Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day. That'll be Wednesday. The latest skirmish in the nation...
Are we planning?
Yeah, we're planning on going. You guys want to go?
The latest skirmish in the nation's culture wars began... And this is what it is. It's a culture war. Christian culture against worldly carnal culture. Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. The nature of man is the same. We're in the same place we are today. Same thing. The latest skirmish in the nation's culture wars began when Chick-fil-A president Dan Cathy told the Baptist press the company was guilty as charged. I love that. Do you, Dan Cathy, before this court, declare to this nation that you do not support gay marriage and that you do support the biblical definition of marriage between that is between a man and a woman? Yes, sir, I do. So therefore, you are guilty as charged? Yes, sir, I am. See, right now, they don't have the bite in the courts, but they're getting there. If anything that was so powerful in our country, you appeal, where can you ultimately go? To the United States Supreme Court. Our Supreme Court right now is a liberal Supreme Court. Very dangerous to go there. Yes, sir. Here's what he said. Guilty as charged. I love it. I love what he's saying. Guilty as charged. Not before the Lord. Before you, I'm guilty, but not before my God.
Freedom of speech.
Here's the Lord. Here's the angels of God. Here's Jesus. Here's the saints of God. Here they are. Yes. 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 Run, Dan. Run. Run, Dan. Run. Go, Dan. Go. Come on home, baby. Come on home. And so what if he loses $16 million this year? He doesn't care about that. I know he would love to join you in Siberia, locked away from the world as some kind of nuts, but on your way to the kingdom. I know that. I know it.
I feel fire now.
Ooh! When I saw this.
Don't you flee today.
Go, Danny, go! Go, Danny, go! Maybe I'll say that Chick-fil-A, I don't know. Golly, Teddy.
I saw the interview with him. Sean Hannity had an interview with him.
I hadn't seen that.
And they were talking, and he didn't bring it up about Wednesday, about the Chicken Day Wednesday. And Sean Hannity says, I understand the churches all over the country are going to do this on Wednesday, the first. And he simply said, and what a nice thing, he says, you know, we're open all week except for Sunday.
Oh, let me. I gotta get this in here, Shirley. Is this turn it on?
Bob, I know. Yeah, I have to figure that one out too.
I don't know.
Watch there be a 3-4 hour wait for a Chick-fil-A on that day.
I'll wait.
So he'll make up for his Sundays being closed.
I don't know about you, but I live in this world, and I ask the Lord to teach me. I read the paper. I ask the Lord to teach me. I look at all as well. I ask the Lord to teach me. I read the Bible. I ask the Lord to teach me every second, every heartbeat of my life. I don't know about you. I hope that you do that because you can learn if you just stay humble and do that. But when I see a non sequitur and some things in there, they're very relevant. Very, very relevant. We got a pterodactyl, but his reflection is in the water, and the sign says, warning, objects in reflection are closer than they appear. Boy, I tell you, if I was him, the hair that I got, man, it would be standing up. I said, but I don't know what's back there, but something back there, like that alligator that almost got that bobcat. But here is what I pictorially see where we are. Oh, ho-dee-do-do, I'm going down to the river where I go every day, and I'm going to get my water, and I'm just going to have a good old day. I'm going to go down to the river like I do every day. It's the same old day, the same old clouds, the same old water every day. And all of a sudden, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And even in the Bible, it says that's what they've been saying all the time about the Lord's coming, the Lord's coming, the Lord's coming. He might be singing that song, the Lord's coming, making mockery, you know. And then look out, he that is coming will come. Mm-hmm. But he's not coming this time as a lamb. He's coming this time as a lion, the Lion of Judah. He is coming on a white horse. Ain't going to be no white horse like you see in Kentucky, maybe, but it's going to be a white horse. However, it's going to be a white horse because there's some horses mentioned in Revelation, but he's coming on a white horse. He will rule. He will reign forever. He will have his church, but he will separate the wheat from the tares, the sheep from the goats. Now, to me, I got it when I saw that. I got it. He's even, the Bible says, he's even at the door. And if the head of the house knew at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have allowed his house to be broken into. See, this is not a fearful thing for Christians. They know he's coming. Amen. They're ready for him to come. They don't fear the threats of the world. Dan Cathy does not fear the threats of the corporate world. This is getting cranked up because this is political. This is a political election year. Obama has already made clear when he got off the fence. He said, yes, I support gay marriage. Yes, he got off the fence. Well, okay, then that's the tank you're in, man. And he's got a lot of other people jumping in there with him. And that is where the support is going to go. Very, very important year for America. Very important, but God is in control. It says, in a later radio interview, he ratcheted up the rhetoric. I'm going to ratchet it up. I say to my guys, when we get ready out to do something, I said, turn the nut, turn the nut, turn the bolt. Let's go turn it, torque it down. He's going to ratchet it up. I think we are inviting God's judgment on our nation when we shake our fist at him and say, we know better than you as to what constitutes a marriage. He said that. Hallelujah, he said that.
Amen.
He is representing the body of Christ when he says that. I love it. I'm not saying he's perfect, but I'm saying hallelujah. That is true. That is accurate. And so here's what he's saying is going to happen. You're going to shake your fist at God. We know better than you what marriage should be. We think it could be between a man and a man, a woman and a woman, you know, a horse and a man or whatever. Watch the future. We're going to get crazy with this because everybody should do what they want to do. We need to be tolerant of what everybody else's convictions and worldviews are. We need to be real happy. So what? He married his horse. Let him be happy. He pays his taxes. He's a great teacher and this and that. And so, hey, me and my horse want to adopt Sally into our family. I want to adopt this little Chinese, but this is my wife, or this is my horse, or vice versa, or my dog, or what? Why? Why not?
There's a man in the news. He is suing the state because he wants to marry his dog.
I see.
He's absolutely no. There's no man that want to marry his sheep. He wanted to officially have mm-hmm. a marriage with mm-hmm. his sheep. Bestiality is mentioned in the story.
Yes. Yes.
He's alive and well and has been since the beginning.
Yes.
He's now coming into
yes.
business.
Yes.
Yes. <So, laughs> no.
Oh wow! Now look. Now look, the this is a battle. We're in a spiritual warfare. This, when Kathy said that we know better than you what constitutes a marriage, that fired up gay rights advocates, including a group that waged a campaign against the company in recent years by publicizing that $3 million in contributions. Kathy family contributed $3 million in contributions to organizations such as Family Research Council. So they're all fired up about, hey, you donated $3 million to the Family Research Council. Oh boy, that makes us mad. Family Research Council, what is best for the family? We're going to give $3 million to those guys to get that cause out there, biblical views. And they don't like that. So what they're going to do is donate millions against it. This solidifies Chick-fil-A as being closely aligned with some of the most vicious.
Family Research Council, vicious.
Do you all understand what's being said here? I'm trying to make it very clear. It says this solidifies Chick-fil-A as being closely aligned with some of the most vicious anti-gay voices in the country, said Carlos Maza of Equality Matters. Vicious. 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 This is not his view. This is God's view.
Amen.
But what we got right around the corner is they've held short a little bit. They hold and trigger back just a little bit from saying the Bible is vicious, but that's where it's going. Because that's where it comes from. In any court of law, you have to get down to the root of what you stand for. Where do you get that information, sir? What caused you to believe this way? This, Your Honor, God's Word says so right here. Well, we're going to make a law to where God's Word doesn't say so anymore. Choose you this day whom you'll serve. And you'll see where that gets you. You'll see where trusting God gets you. You're going to see where Antichrist philosophy gets you. And they'll even hate that to say they're Antichrist. This is amazing. A Chicago alderman, which is an alderman is a city official of some sorts, vowed to block Chick-fil-A proposed restaurant in his district. And Mayor Rahm Emanuel supported him, saying Chick-fil-A values are not Chicago values. How can you speak? How can I, as the mayor of Tampa, if I were Buckhorn, if I was the mayor, how could I speak for Tampa and say your values are not Tampa's values? That in itself, it's crazy.
Separation of church and state now.
Yes.
Now it's okay to blend it.
Yes. How could Buckhorn stand up there and say that Chick-fil-A values are not Tampa's values? Man, I'd have to be knocking on that guy's, his door. Say, what are you talking about? And so maybe this is what's needed. You throw a rock at a hornet's nest, which we were told never to do in Ohio on the farm, which we did just to curiosity, don't do it, but we had to do it anyhow, but we had to do it smart and stay way back and just see what happens. But they will follow a projectile to a degree if you messing with them. My brother did it one time and he chased him all the way down through the fields and bumps and bumps and bumps down to the cornfields where he was still going like this and we were laughing our heads off. Just like this is just like Pearl Harbor to me.
Yes.
They've just, in my opinion, awakened a sleeping giant. Maybe the church has been sleeping too long. I think so.
I hope it's awake.
And now you're going to see where the whimsy flimsy is there or is not. You're going to see pastors who stayed away and just kind of smooth things over. We all tolerate, you know, we're all happy and we all have our dinners after church, but nobody talks about anything, you know, when it comes down to the truth of things. And so I believe that, I hope and pray that we've just received a rock at a hornet's nest and the army is going to come out, but there's no, it's not going to end. This is going to be here till Jesus Christ comes. I believe that. But it's going to strengthen those who love Jesus. It's going to strengthen them. It's going to cause conviction. And I pray that we will see, stand up. You know, stand up and see the salvation of the Lord. And so it's amazing. Chick-fil-A is not welcome in Chicago. Can you imagine any leader of any city in our nation to be saying this? You are not welcome. I mean, decent, great company. Now, he possibly would be welcome if he recanted and says, you know what, we're getting a lot of flack from this, didn't realize how strong this was, we want our Chick-fil-A's in Chicago, and I'm sorry I said that, I recant. Okay, under those conditions, now you put it in writing, you can build your restaurant in Chicago. I mean, how could you live with yourself? How could you live with yourself? Peter felt bad enough, and God forgave him for denying him three times. I mean, he really got nailed. I don't know him. There goes the cock crowing after three denials. Wow. This is so powerful. And then Boston Mayor Thomas Menino wrote in a letter to Kathy, there is no place for discrimination on Boston's Freedom Trail and no place for your company alongside it.
I think discriminating against his company.
Wow.
Martyrdom is next.
The stage has to be set for this to really get. In Genesis, the Lord looked down and saw that the heart of man was evil continually. Read that recently. We've read it several times. Evil, the thoughts were evil continually. Pretty major stuff. It says,
well, Muslims are totally against homosexuality.
Yeah.
Why aren't they pulled into this fray, not just him?
Yeah, we're dealing with Jesus, aren't we?
No. What? Yeah.
Oh, they are.
But the Muslim community has specifically made that as a statement. It is against their religious laws and everything that they do.
And so is Christianity.
And they have corporations.
But
they have corporations in this country.
Christianity called out on this.
Yeah.
But we have to just continually remember, it is a spiritual warfare.
Yes, yes.
And we ought not to say, I just don't understand, because God has given us understanding.
Right.
We know. And those, and you said the Bible is next, well, that's not just any book. That's not just any religious set of rules. It is the living word of God. And those who walk in darkness cannot and will not be able to understand what it says. And they'll pick out things and twist it and turn it, but that's because their master is not the living God. And so we do understand. And also, it's like I heard, this is another ripple that's going to wake up more of God's people.
Mm-hmm.
This whole
I believe that.
Wake up more
I believe that.
People.
I believe that. On the other side of the debate, former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee. I love Huckabee. I love that guy. Oh, man, I saw him last night. He was playing with some guys on the stage, the last thing they did. But I love that guy. Just really great wisdom. And he loves the Lord. A Baptist minister declared Wednesday Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day to support a business whose executives are willing to take a stand for the godly values. Former Pennsylvania Senator Rick Santorum, praise God, who like Huckabee ran for president as a darling of social conservatives, joined the calls along with religious leaders. As a son of a dairy farmer, listen to this, as a son of a dairy farmer who milked many a cow, I plan to eat more chicken and show my support by visiting Chick-fil-A on next Wednesday, the Reverend Billy Graham said in a statement referring to the slogan in company ads which feature cows urging people to eat poultry. The Reverend Roger Oldham, spokesman for the Southern Baptist Convention, said many Christians want to support businesses owned by fellow believers, and loyalty intensifies when Christians see a fellow Christian being persecuted. It is persecution. That is what's going on. They will come out of the woodwork when a theologically based position is being politicized by individuals for their own purposes, he said. Wow. The Caffey family has never hidden its agenda ever since they have found. Chick-fil-A posted more than $4.1 billion in sales last year, most of it below the Mason-Dixon line. Wow. And let's see. This is also powerful. The Chick-fil-A, it also boasts that the Chick-fil-A Bowl is the only college football bowl game with an invocation. That's the only one. So this article... came out, and then right after that one, this is so powerful what's going on here. This one came out the following day. This was Saturday, I believe. It says Amazon.com chief backs gay unions in Washington State. So now you got these great, big, powerful corporations that are getting in on this. This is going to snowball. It says, Amazon founder and CEO Jeff Bezos waded into a developing corporate culture war over gay marriage Friday with 2.5 million donation to keep same-sex unions legal in Washington. $2.5 million. We got to keep it legal. He says he joins Microsoft, Bill Gates, and companies such as Starbucks and Nike with support to the campaign to uphold Washington law. These corporations, these are major corporations. I know we all heard about all these. Nike, Starbucks, Microsoft. Wow. And says, and while fast food chain Chick-fil-A set off a furor this month in opposing same-sex unions, other companies, including big names such as General Mills, Nabisco, they're brushing off fears that support for gay marriage could hurt their bottom line. They're brushing off that it could hurt their bottom line because, gee, look what you're doing. You're supporting this. You're going to have people boycott you. They're just brushing it off. And wow. It says gay activists advocate that gay advocates say the activism sends a strong message. Companies, and this is very powerful, companies are a bellwether of what is in the mainstream. Now, I wasn't familiar with bellwether. A bellwether is a male sheep, usually castrated with a bell hung around its neck, that is followed by the flock of sheep. It's a leader. That's what a bellwether is. It's a leader. So it says here, companies are a bellwether of what is in the mainstream. What's going on in the mainstream? Corporations are a bellwether of that. So when they get going, then the sheep will follow, is what they think. And just a couple other things right here. It says, when you have some of the mainstays of corporate leadership stand up, that's important. It sends a powerful message about where our society is right now. I am sort of a little bit surprised to see such venomous attitude toward what Kathy said, and I'm also surprised in such tremendous support by some of these corporations that are jumping into that same tank. It's amazing, but it's very powerful. It says it sends a message where our society is right now. My stirring in my heart is, the fire in my heart is, where am I right now? Where are you right now? Do you know what you stand for, to limit what you fall for? Joshua said, choose you today whom you will serve. The same message today. And here's the last thing. This is John Taft, CEO of RBC Wealth Management, said, we're all competing for talent. We're trying to recruit and retain the best people out there. If you're going to be successful in business, you have to diversify well. The world's becoming more diverse, not less diverse. And we see it happening before our eyes. We see the welcoming of the diversity happening. And I tell you what, I will never have preached that this is something against a gay person at all. God says you're to love and to manifest that love, and hatred is not of the Lord, so it has nothing to do with hating gay people, either the men or women. It has nothing to do with that. I'm just simply standing for the biblical view of marriage, that the marriage between a man to man and woman to woman is wrong, or any combination of anything else you can come up with is wrong. And I pray that every person who has a different persuasion or worldview that it is okay for a man to marry a man or a woman to woman, I pray that they will come and see God's illumination and understanding and come to know Him as Lord and Savior. That is my view. I cannot have any other view. I pray that they will do it before it's too late, because judgment is coming. And there's many scriptures about that. If you forsake God, He will forsake you if you keep doing it. I mean, not in your stupidity and ignorance. God's very merciful. He forgives people for some crazy stuff they do. But I'm talking about rejection. Enough is enough. Judgment is coming. I'm concerned about America because America will go if it's in their best interest to go to the political weight that is there, for depending upon who wants to get reelected, they'll do what they can to support whoever they believe is going to support their cause. And so right now we have a person in office who supports the gay agenda. And so all of them are going to be supporting his reelection. And so, very serious time for America to be looking to who is most godly as opposed to less godly. That's who we need to be pushing for. That's who we need to be seeking God for to be leader of this country. Very, very, very powerful what is going on. I am stirred, and I'm going to be seeking God to be the man He called me to be in the world that I live, around the people I work, the people I see, and even you today. I want to encourage you to be looking to the Lord and making that choice daily to make a stand for the biblical truth and the truth that Jesus Christ spoke about when He is here on this earth. You need to follow that. You need to know what you stand for to limit what you fall for. And I want to close with scriptures here in Matthew 24:36. Matthew 24, starting with verse 36. These are all red letters in my Bible. This is word for word, every word spoken by Jesus. Illustration of the days of Noah. Matthew 24, starting with verse 36. Somebody want to read that? I'd be glad to read it, but Lisa, you want to read that?
Can I read it?
Yeah, if you can see it where she is and yeah. Read it loudly to us.
Through what?
36 through 44.
Okay. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, that the angels of heaven, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage, until the day of Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. The two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left.
42.
Watch therefore ye, now know not what hour the Lord doth come. But now this, that if good men of the houses had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think that the Son of Man cometh.
Verse 42, also again, thank you, Nessie. Therefore be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. Another part of that illustration is verse 45 through 51. Who then is the faithful and sensible slave whom his master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom the master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions, but if that evil slave says in his heart, my master is not coming for a long time, and shall begin to beat his fellow slaves and eat and drink with drunkards, the master of that slave shall come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour which he does not know, and shall cut him in pieces and assign to him a place with the hypocrites. Weeping shall there be and gnashing of teeth. So this is talking about the illustration of the days of Noah, but of that day and of that hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father alone. So I sense within me we're getting closer and closer and closer. Of that day and hour no one knows, but we can also sense that there's something terribly wrong. So the line's being drawn in the sand. Choose you this day whom you will serve. I see it in the corporate world, and this is not going to go away. This is just going to get ratcheted up. And so here you got what? One side, you got light and darkness, you got truth and lies, you have holy and unholy, you have the division, it's there. You got the division that has always been there. It's just coming out on the surface where people aren't going to be able to hide under obscurity anymore. Choose you this day whom you will serve. I pray that no matter what your position is, those of you that may be listening to this, I pray that you will seek God for his godly counsel to make understanding out of anything that you may be confused over, because God is not the author of confusion. I pray that you will seek God with all your heart, that you will not deny him nor delay in making a decision to follow him if you haven't, and may God have mercy and help you to be able to see the truth that is in Jesus Christ. God bless you.